Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. There's no end to the list of companies and organizations who want to soak up the lessons of Silicon Valley. For most, this locale is the center of cutting-edge thinking, the best innovation, and the best application of technology to solving problems anywhere in the world. The U.S. Department of State has sought to partner with Silicon Valley. Its mission is twofold. Find out what tech companies see that state ought to, and establish a local presence for the department. There's a synergy between the technology, innovative, creative push of this valley, and the problem solving that we need to do on a global basis. To establish state's beachhead in Silicon Valley, the Obama administration dispatched a strategist, Zvika Krieger. He works with technology innovation sectors on tackling global challenges and helped the State Department plan for the impacts of emerging technology trends. How is the U.S. Department of State partnering with Silicon Valley? What is hacking for diplomacy? And how does design thinking work? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Zvika Krieger, representative to Silicon Valley and senior advisor for technology and innovation at the U.S. Department of State. Zvika, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Zvika, would you provide for us a brief overview of the history and evolving mission of the U.S. Department of State's Office of the Representative to Silicon Valley? When was it created, and how has its mission evolved to date?
The evolution of this position and having a State Department presence in Silicon Valley really went back to Deputy Secretary Blinken, Tony Blinken, the number two person of the State Department, who had previously served at the White House as the Deputy National Security Advisor. And he had increasingly come to realize that so many issues that we deal with in the international affairs, foreign policy space were intersecting with technology. And that means that, first of all, a lot of the big technology companies out here in Silicon Valley were having more of an impact on foreign policy and international policy issues. They're having more of an impact than a lot of embassies, a lot of countries that we have full embassies to. Yet there was no one whose job it was to build relationships with these big companies out here in Silicon Valley. And a lot of times those companies can be as complicated and as opaque as foreign governments. And so we really needed someone whose full-time job it was to build relationships with these companies. But even beyond that, there was a recognition that technology as a tool was really could help us move the needle on a lot of foreign policy challenges that we were dealing with across the globe. Yet diplomats were really not, you know, technology is not the number one tool in the toolkit of most diplomats. We have a few technologists at the State Department, but not nearly enough to take advantage of the new technologies that are coming out of Silicon Valley and other tech hubs. And so we wanted to have some sort of office that could be an outreach to the broader tech community to figure out how can we engage them and leverage them in helping to tackle global challenges. And so Deputy Secretary Blinken had the idea of establishing an official State Department presence out here in Silicon Valley. And we're not the first federal agency that has a presence out here. There's actually almost a dozen federal agencies that have presences out here. And there's a really wide range of models that we had to choose from. And not just U.S. federal agencies, but there are also lots of foreign governments that have presences out here in Silicon Valley, recognizing the global importance of Silicon Valley. I've heard a figure batted around. I haven't been able to confirm this number, but I've heard that over 50 countries have offices in Silicon Valley. And the joke that we had internally is that every country was here except for us. And so as the U.S. government agency, that manages our relationships with other countries, and there's clearly a massive international interest in engaging with Silicon Valley, sometimes more interest in engaging out here than engaging with Washington, where it's really a missed opportunity if we didn't have anyone out here who could leverage and help channel that interest in a strategic way. And so we looked at a lot of the models of what this could look like. And, you know, there are some agencies that have set up, 30-person offices out here with, huge office space and a lot of fanfare. And what we decided to do is take a very different approach, which is an approach that you could say is more in line with the ethos of Silicon Valley, more of a prototype approach or more of a bootstrap approach of, let's figure out, first of all, let's pilot, what is the value proposition of having a State Department presence out here? Will the companies even want to engage with us? Of course, the Silicon Valley has a reputation for being very libertarian, anti-government, so we didn't even know if people were going to want to talk to us. And beyond that, we don't have a ton of money. We're not here buying fancy, expensive technology on the sort of leading edge of innovation, like agencies like the Defense Department or the Intelligence Community or the Department of Homeland Security. So if we weren't bringing a big checkbook, were companies even going to want to talk to us? And if they did want to talk to us, what would they want to talk to us about? What were the kinds of issues that they'd want to engage with us on? And in what way would they like to be engaged? Which types of companies would want to engage with us? And what would be our value add to them? And what would be their value add to us? And so we decided to start small. Initially, it's just me and a great team in Washington who's supporting a lot of our work out here to see what is the value proposition. And so I've been out here for over a year now, and we've basically been able to accomplish a surprising amount in the past year to the extent that the State Department leadership has decided to make this a permanent fixture in the State Department. So we've moved from a pilot project into an actual office in the State Department on the org chart. And we have a foreign service officer who's going to be coming out here to join me and become a sort of permanent fixture, having foreign service officer based out here with an office and a budget and all of that. And so this is a testament to the value in engaging out here.
Zvika, you've been called the State Department's one-man mission to scout Silicon Valley. To that end, how is the State Department's approach to Silicon Valley different from other federal agencies? Are you collaborating with any other federal agencies?
Well, initially, it was really every man for themselves, or let's say every agency for themselves, because our missions are so different. You know, even though we have such different missions, there's actually a lot of overlap, first of all, and a lot that we can learn from each other. But the second thing that we learned is that, you know, while people who are steeped in the culture of government would never conflate, you know, the Commerce Department and the Veterans Affairs and the State Department and the CIA, but here, everybody just sees us as the government. And so, they just said, oh, I just met with the government last week, even though that might have been a colleague of mine from Health and Human Services or OPM. And so we realized that we really need to do a better job of coordinating, staying in touch, but also learning best practices from each other. So I started going around and meeting individually with all these agency leads in Silicon Valley and decided, well, that's not time efficient. And also, I may be meeting with them, but they're not meeting with each other. So we started creating these quarterly gatherings where the leads of all the every agency Silicon Valley presence will get together. We'll share what we're doing so that we can all have visibility and also see where some surprising synergies may emerge. And then we can also coordinate on certain types of engagement. For example, at one of our recent gatherings, we met at the Stanford Design School, which is a really quite a big hub for innovation and creative thinking here in the Valley. And we did we went through a number of design thinking exercises to so that the different federal agencies can learn about how they might leverage design thinking and other innovation tools to the work that they're doing here and connect with the broader design and innovation community, not just the tech companies. And so we have a lot of those kinds of programs where we get together on that basis. So now we've got quite a robust community of interest around all the agencies out here trying to work together as best we can.
I believe you are dual-hatted as State's representative to Silicon Valley and senior advisor for technology and innovation at State. You are State's new ambassador, as they say, to Techlandia. So what are your duties and responsibilities? And more interesting, how do you support the overall mission of the U.S. Department of State?
Sure. I would say we have four main lines of effort out here. And so the first is engaging the tech community on global challenges. And when I say the tech community, we define that really broadly. So that's not just the big tech companies like Google and Apple and Facebook, but that's also the mid-sized companies that maybe people in Washington don't know about, but are really at the heart of what happens in Silicon Valley. It's the startup community and the incubators and accelerators that create the ecosystem around them. We engage with the finance community. So that's the venture capital firms, the impact investors, the philanthropies and the foundations that all have offices out here. We engage with the NGO community, with the, as I mentioned, the other government offices, other governments that have offices out here. We engage with the university community, both with academics and researchers, as well as with the student population, and then the broader design and innovation community, because Silicon Valley, it's a catch-all term for a really rich and diverse ecosystem, and we're really trying to tap into that full spectrum.
Zvika, regarding your responsibilities and duties, what are the top three challenges you face in your position, and how have you sought to address those challenges?
Sure. I would say that a few challenges. One is just sheer bandwidth. You know, we've been trying to stay under the radar for the past year, but success begets success, and so we're a lot of people have heard about various initiatives that have already had impact out here, and so just managing the stream of requests that are coming from our various bureaus in Washington and that are also coming from our embassies. I wish I had more hours in the day that I could accommodate, but a lot of what we've been doing is actually partnering with the relevant bureaus in Washington to be a force multiplier of our efforts out here, so that if we're working on an effort around clean energy or renewable energy, we're working hand in hand with the Energy Bureau, and they have people on their team who will be dedicated to helping organize a lot of our engagement out here. Or if we're working on nuclear proliferation, we'll work on with the Arms Control Bureau at the State Department. And so, it may just be one person out here right now, but I think that it's probably more accurate to think of me as the tip of the spear that's really helping guide and support a lot of outreach initiatives from across the department.
So, Zvika, what has surprised you most since taking over your leadership role within State?
I think I was surprised at how eager companies have been to engage with us. People are, there was this sense of, well, State Department doesn't have any money. Why are people going to talk to you? And we didn't have an answer to that question when we came out here. We didn't know, and that was the proposition that we came out here to test. And the realization is that while yes, making money really is the predominant ethos here in Silicon Valley. People come here to make money and profit, and every, dinner table conversation is around unicorns and A rounds and exits and IPOs. But beneath that desire to make money out here in Silicon Valley, there is an underlying desire to change the world. And the truth is, if you want to make a lot of money, this probably isn't the best place to come for you. You're probably better off, getting a banking or a consulting job in Manhattan, because the odds are not in your favor out here in terms of making a ton of money. And so, but people, what I found is people really want to have a global impact, particularly millennials that make up a large portion of the workforce and the energy out here. And so they're starving for ways to have that impact. And that a lot of these, particularly in a lot of these big tech companies that have a really appealing sheen from the outside of these big big sort of social change the world missions, once you get into the company and you get to your seat, you realize that you're just the cog in a machine like you would be in any other big corporation. And so the opportunity to get engaged in these global challenges is really palpable out here. And so people have been very eager, both as individuals, but even companies have recognized, there's, of course, traditional CSR, corporate social responsibility value in getting engaged on these social impact challenges. But probably more important to these companies than the sort of branding value is engaging their millennial workforce. They're very open with me that, they're in a war for talent and millennials don't jump out of bed in the morning to make a search algorithm 1 millisecond faster. They want to tackle human trafficking. They want to tackle women's rights. They want to tackle climate change. And so if they can engage with us on these projects and send their engineers to our workshops and have them spend 20% of their time for 6 months working on projects on these issues, it's a win-win for everybody. And so their willingness to engage with us, I mean, of course, there are some areas where there's an intersection of business interests and social impact. And so those are areas that are easier to engage people on. But what I've been pleasantly surprised by is the sheer excitement and eagerness of companies and individuals out here to engage with us.
Given your experience, what are the characteristics of an effective leader?
Well, I would say, obviously there's a lot of answers to that question, but particularly in the context that I've been working, whether it's here or in my current or my previous job running the strategy lab at the State Department, or before that working at the Defense Department, helping shepherd our innovation agenda, I think that in order to be a truly innovative leader, I think that what's really important is, first of all, having the right tools and recognizing that innovation is not just a fairy dust that you sprinkle on challenges and then all of a sudden they become innovative, but that innovation is actually a discipline. And whether using design thinking or systems mapping or lean or other methodologies, like there's a real rigor to innovation. And I think it's important for leadership to understand that it's not just a flavor of the month. Everybody's wanting to be innovative these days, but that there's a real discipline to it. And I think that what's also been really valuable to me is bringing diverse voices to the table. That if you just have the same people around the table, you're going to generate the same old ideas. And if you want genuinely new ideas, you need to bring new and unexpected voices to the table. And I've seen that in my previous job, and I've seen it most particularly out here, being outside of the DC bubble, being in a world where people don't necessarily think about these challenges all day, but they do think about other challenges and have very different mindsets and very different ways of looking at the world. And so I think our value of being out here is not just in leveraging technology and applying technology to global challenges, but getting new ideas and new perspectives and new approaches that can help drive how we think about tackling these challenges.
What is hacking for diplomacy? We will ask Zvika Krieger when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.